This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. High cholesterol is a risk factor for heart disease, which is the leading cause of death for both men and women in this country. And although cholesterol levels may be reduced by dietary modifications and increased physical activity, these lifestyle changes are often difficult to maintain or not sufficiently effective. Well, over the past few decades, the use of statin drugs to lower cholesterols has increased tenfold, with a simultaneous decline in the percentage of Americans with high serum total cholesterol. But for some individuals with high cholesterol, these statins are not effective enough or cannot be taken due to problematic side effects. But now there is a new series of drugs about to be approved for use in the United States, which promise to be the new silver bullet for these patients in lowering their cholesterol. Well, here with more on these drugs is Dr. Robert Carhart, Associate Professor of Medicine at Upstate Medical University, specializing in cardiology. Welcome, Dr. Carhart. Thanks for coming in. So, let's start with what are these new drugs? I mean, I've seen some names that are really hard to pronounce. What are they?
Well, essentially what these new drugs are, and we'll go back a little bit in terms of how these drugs came about. It was discovered in the early 2000 timeframe that there were a group of patients with a genetic mutation that caused actually an increase in a protein in the body called proprotein convertase, subtilisin connexin type 9, or PCSK9. And in these patients who had high levels of this protein through a mutation, their cholesterols were high.
So and almost genetically, they were determined
genetic
to have high
predisposition
cholesterol.
To high cholesterol. And what was discovered is this protein actually binds to receptors in the body that are responsible for clearing LDL out of your bloodstream.
LDL being the bad
cholesterol.
The one that potentially clogs up those arteries.
Correct. And so this was the first discovery. And then as they went and looked, they found patients who had a different genetic mutation that caused this protein to be actually decreased. And these patients had very, very low cholesterols. And so it became then the thought, if we can somehow eliminate or lower this protein in the system, your cholesterols would go down because the receptors would stay available longer, the LDL would be cleared from the system, and it wouldn't be available to get into your arteries and cause plaque. So this new class of drugs that were developed are actually biologics. They're monoclonal antibodies that actually bind to this protein and inactivate it. So it's not allowed to bind to the receptor.
And basically, therefore, lowering the cholesterol in the body.
Lowering the cholesterol.
So they're called PCSK9, or basically a monoclonal antibody. And there are two now. One is called Repatha. The other is called Praluent.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what's their status in terms of use?
Actually, in sort of the pipeline, there's a total, I think, of about seven of these drugs.
Okay.
The two that you mentioned are the ones that are closest to FDA approval or have been approved.
But they have the same mechanism, each of them?
Yes. They're both monoclonal antibodies. They both bind to this protein in different ways, but they're, you know, essentially working the same way. And the first drug is just been approved by the FDA. And
that's Repatha?
Repatha. And the second one is in the pipeline on its way.
And I believe have both been approved in Europe already?
Yes.
At least, okay.
And so these drugs are now just starting to begin. They've been in clinical trials. They've showed dramatic decreases. And I think really, if we step back for a moment in terms of the importance of all of this, we'll go back to, you know, the beginning, if you will. What was noted in the late 1970s, early 1980s, was that the higher one's cholesterol was, that the greater your chance of having a heart attack or a stroke. And then it then became clear that LDL, the particle that we're talking about, that carries cholesterol to different parts of the body, was the bad player in this game. And if you could lower LDL levels, you would see a reduction in heart attacks. And originally, it was population studies. If your LDL was at this level, this is what your risk or incidence of heart disease was. So that was the first target, if you will. And what has come along is what we had, what you had mentioned at the top, was statins. These drugs work on an enzyme in the liver that basically they inhibit this enzyme and prevent the production of LDL. So it decreases your LDL. And they're very effective drugs. And they've gone through several generations of development. The potency of the drugs has increased. And so we've reached a point where we have a pretty effective treatment for most patients to lower their LDL. The problem being is that statins do come with issues. If you look at sort of national data, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of patients started on statins ultimately end up stopping it because they can't tolerate it.
Because of side effects.
And the side effects, yes.
Before we go into side effects, though, also, there's a variability in the efficacy of different statins, some more effective than others.
Correct.
And also, I would say, some more effective with some patients than others. So it's almost a little bit of a journey for a patient to sometimes trial 2, 3, 4 different kinds before they find the one that is most effective for them and perhaps has the least number of side effects.
Side effects, that's correct.
So the kinds of side effects, what are those?
Well, the most common one that everyone talks about is muscle aches or myalgias. And that's probably the most common reason that's cited for even stopping. Now, the ones that are of more concern to the healthcare community is that because these drugs act in the liver, they can affect the liver. And patients can develop almost an inflammation, a hepatitis-type picture, where their liver enzymes become dramatically elevated and the drugs have to be stopped. The other thing, patients, and it's a much more uncommon side effect, is that statins can actually cause muscle breakdown. So not muscle pain, but actual muscle breakdown, that enzymes are released from the muscle as it actually breaks down in the system. And again, very rare, but it's a worrisome side effect.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with cardiologist Dr. Robert Carhart, and we're talking about the new class of drugs that can dramatically lower cholesterol. But before I said that, we were talking about statins. So I guess the major question I have now, do we have hard evidence proving that statin use really can prevent heart attack and stroke and increase longevity in that sense?
Yeah, the data, because the drugs have been around so long, the data clearly shows that you reduce your LDL levels, you will decrease your incidence of heart attack. And in patients who've had a heart attack, you decrease your risk of a second one, and you will decrease your risk of a stroke. And it's pretty well demonstrated and pretty well accepted. And how you lower that LDL level really then varies. And statins are obviously the most effective agent that we had to date to do this.
But this new class of drugs is promising something more dramatic in terms of its efficacy, but also it's being thought of as being used perhaps independently in those people who can't take statins, but also as an adjunct therapy for those for whom statins do not do the job.
Correct. In the original target for these drugs in terms of their original development were patients who have, again, genetic predisposition to very high cholesterols, and numbers where we put these patients on maximum dose of statins and we still see their cholesterol numbers, you know, way beyond where we'd like to see them. And these drugs were being used in those patients, and what was being demonstrated was up to a 50% reduction in their cholesterol levels beyond what the statin was
achieving.
This
is during the tests.
During the trials, yes.
So that was pretty profound change.
Correct.
So that's the hope going forward. But at this point, there have not been sufficient amounts of data accumulated to say that these drugs will also have that long-term effect. Is that correct?
That is correct.
We don't know that yet.
And the problem that you have with any new drug is that, you know, clinical trials, the way they're designed, you pick the ideal patient, they always come for their follow-up, they're getting monitored very closely, so your results, if they're going to occur, usually look dramatic. And then once the drug is released for the general population, a lot more things start to be uncovered, and, you know, some of it is compliance issues, some of it is cost issues, there's a lot of different factors that come into play. That's really the information that ultimately we're going to be looking for. You know, there was a drug that was released, you know, perhaps two decades ago, that was a different mechanism for lowering LDL. And patients were taking it as an adjunct to statins. And it turned out, at least in some of the studies, that even though their numbers were lower with this drug plus a statin, their outcomes were no different. And so the drug kind of faded. It's now trying to make a resurgence. But the bottom line was, yes, the numbers went down, but there was something probably beyond it in terms of mechanistic effects of the drugs, of the statins,
so
that were important.
The golden key here is you can look at a lowering of the LDL, but what we really need to look at is whether the outcomes change, whether
Absolutely.
There's a change in the amount of heart attacks and strokes, because that's ultimately our goal. And that brings me to the other question of how do we know how far to lower the drugs? There seems to be a sea change going on in terms of the calculation. At one time, it was at one level, and then it went to a very much more extreme level, and now it's kind of moving back up a little bit. So how is that determined?
Well, again, some of it's just based on outcomes. And I think it's some of, you know, the rate of return on your investment, so to speak. So if, you know, there's a big school of physicians out there that believe patients who have very high cholesterol should just be put on a moderate dose of a statin and be left alone. And no matter where their LDL settles down, the impact that you're going to get in terms of the upfront reduction in morbidity and mortality, the reduction in heart attack, stroke, and death is enough to justify, and trying to incrementally get lower really doesn't give you that much back.
So the statin alone is protective. The sense of the fact that they're on the statin alone is protective, and the fact the actual number itself is not as crucial.
Yes.
Would you say that's the general approach these days? Or are there still people who are pushing for you to get below 100 or get to 100?
Yeah. It's very divided in terms of that. And what some people are looking for is, can we lower your LDL low enough that we actually see regression or removal of the plaque in your arteries? And that's a very hard concept to prove. And again, it's a question of exactly where your target is. And the big problem with the more aggressive use of statins is it's introduced us to a much higher rate of side effects problems.
And speaking of side effects, there have been a few side effects noted in these new drugs, even at the outset. Something about mental confusion, some attentional issues, suggesting some central nervous system involvement. I mean, when we start playing with the body's homeostasis, you have to expect, just like in nature, when you make a change in the food chain or something, there's going to be some ramification. So is there a fear that there will be more side effects uncovered as time goes on?
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because there's a group of statins, for example, that also carry that same side effect in terms of mental confusion and sort of a decrease of your cognition. And whether or not with these drugs, it's because the LDL was being lowered so much that that's why we were seeing the side effect, or whether it's a direct effect of the drug remains to be seen.
So we have a lot more research to be done, a lot more information to be gathered before we know how safe this is. One quick question. The cost is astronomical at this point. It needs to be injected every 2 to 4 weeks, and
correct.
Do you see that changing?
Well, I think the more widespread use of the drug, one would hope that the cost would go down. But as, you know, sort of examples teach us, the more the drugs are being used, sometimes the cost goes up
Exactly. Instead
of going down. And so there'll be a lot of discussion about the economics in terms of really, is it worth it?
Is it viable? Yeah. Well, thanks so much. This is fascinating information and a hopeful information for many patients. My guest has been Dr. Robert Carhart, Associate Professor of Medicine at Upstate Medical University, specializing in cardiology. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.